Hi, welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, past and present on history.org. This is Behind the Scenes. I'm Lloyd Dobbins, and mostly I ask questions. Today I'm talking with Bill Kelso, who is Director of Archaeology for the Jamestown Rediscovery Project. Bill's work is highlighted in the October 11th electronic field trip, Jamestown Unearthed, a program that examines how new discoveries and evolving technologies continue to improve our understanding of the past. I don't want to say lucky, but I think for the 400th anniversary of Jamestown, finding the site of the original fort probably was as fortuitous as anything you could have come across. Has that really much improved your knowledge of what Jamestown was, where it was?
Who was it, the golfer that said the more he practices, the more lucky he gets?
Yes.
I think there was a lot. I feel very fortunate that happened when it did. But 18 years ago, I started working towards 2007 and hoping that there would be discovery like this. And the fact that there's so much left of the original 1607 fort site, however, it is a great piece of luck.
From Newport News, I've grown up in this area. But we always were told that it was somewhere under the James River, and you were never, ever going to find it because it had been washed away. And I guess I believed it because everybody did.
Right, and the first time I visited Jamestown, it's been over 40 years ago, there was an interpreter there on the shore, and I said, I'd like to stand in the fort, and he points out to the river, and he said, it's gone. But it was clear that there was, even to me then, and I wasn't an archaeologist, but it was clear to me that there was this piece of ground that actually shaped like a triangle, which is what the fort's shaped like, had not been investigated. And so that just sort of stuck in the back of my mind, hopefully someday, maybe later, And then reading all the eyewitness accounts, there was a hint that this could be in the vicinity of the church. And that's the one piece of Jamestown that's above ground, is a church tower. And so that always sort of attracted me. And then to go on, I'll just say that I read a book that was written by a man by the name of Ivor Noel Hume, who also said that he thought that in the vicinity of the church or close to it, there might be some remains of that fort. So I believed him.
Good. Now that you know the basic outline of the fort, and you are checking, if I've read the articles correctly, you were checking into what was a well because people threw things and wells and got rid. Have you discovered a lot that you didn't know, or have you just refined the knowledge that you had, or where are you?
Oh, there's tremendous amount that wasn't known before. Like, where was the fort, for mm-hmm. example? And there it is, as you mentioned. And then, what was the town plan, let's say, the first town plan within this gated community, if you want to look at it that way? In the water source, you look at a well, yes, we wanted to find artifacts, and we knew that it would give us a well-preserved environment to find these things. But also, there was it's unclear, what was the major thing that attacked everyone and made them die, in those first few years, one of which was they were blamed on wells. And so we wanted to check and take the written documents I'll use this term, ground truth them, mm-hmm. And that's why, and I've written a book called Jamestown, The Buried Truth, because that's one way of refining what words say, and history is words about words, and refining that, or giving another play on what the descriptions have been of Jamestown, which is basically almost sounds like the lost colony. It sounds like it's failed. A lot of historians say. So we'll see what we can find in the ground, and that would help understand what it was like to be at Jamestown, really, with reality. And that's what we've been able to do, I think.
Can you tell from artifacts and digging and things that you do what the diseases were that killed people in those days?
We can't pinpoint diseases, but you can look at stress from studying burials, for example. You can see where there's malnutrition, and you can also, of course, find evidence of trauma, and also sometimes cause of death. As we have found one burial of a man that was killed with a gunshot wound, mm-hmm. another one of a boy that was killed with an Indian arrow, you know, and that's clear in the evidence that's left in the graves. But we can test the water and in the original wells, and it ought to be even more polluted today than it was then, see, and we find in there fresh so far. We found two wells. So I think they, in some ways, the description saying that the wells were killing people was a scapegoat. They were using them as a scapegoat, and really there were a lot of political mistakes going on by the leaders, and they would gloss over that by saying, well, the water's bad, it's not my fault.
Gee, why does that sound so familiar?
Right.
That's not my fault. I was talking to a doctor who suggested that the problem with knowing what was killing people as regards fevers is there were no diagnosticians at Jamestown who had the skills to be able to say, this is typhoid and this is malaria and this and this is that. They just said it's the fever, and that sort of did for everything. And they it wasn't that they didn't care, it was that they didn't have the knowledge. Does that make sense?
Well, the records indicate there were surgeons and pharmacists and other, what was the other one called, a surgeon and doctors, I guess, three different types. And they had some knowledge of what was going on. In fact, we found evidence of an operation where a man had been hit with, I think, a stone axe. It seems that's what it looks like on the bone. And then there was an attempt to relieve the pressure by drilling a hole in the skull. And although it looked like the man died anyway.
Yes.
And then there was an autopsy after that. But so they, this is the very, very, stone age of modern medicine, but it's beginning. You know, and there were people that were studying it. And so, but as far as the diseases go, there were descriptions that give different symptoms. So I think they understood that there was more than one way you can go from disease.
Yeah, well, it seems at Jamestown, almost everybody went from something, some test.
Well, yeah, old age too.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact. So.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I've never heard that.
Oh yeah, they were men called the ancient planters, and they were living into the 1620s. Who were original settlers, you know, some of these classes that were here were living longer at Jamestown than they were in London. London was just a mess.
Oh yeah, London was a filthy place.
Yeah, Jamestown must have looked like, you know, a pretty good option, even though you have to get on one of those ships and, you know, spend, you know, half a year getting here.
I don't know. If you have some chance of success in Jamestown and no chance of success if you're of the lower classes in London, ship's not such a bad alternative.
No, I don't think so. The real key to the success was when people could get land of their own. At first, you went over and you had to work for the company, you know, and that, I think that did rob a lot of incentive for everybody, and especially since they weren't finding quick rich like gold. But later on, the gold is the land, and once people could get land for taking a chance to get on that ship, just to get to Virginia, whereas in England they had no chance. Of land, that they couldn't get enough ships to bring the people that wanted to come.
I've always been mildly curious. As bad as things were in Jamestown, and they must have been bad to some degree for all those people to die, people still wanted to come. And I figured out that it had to be, here you had a chance. Maybe not a good chance, but a chance.
Yeah, I think, and I written a book, I start out, the American dream begins here. You know, there is that chance. People are still climbing through the borders, and, you know, there is this opportunity that apparently you don't have most of the rest of the world here. And it's still open for that. And it, even That being said, there were people coming just for the sheer adventure of going to this. Almost in analogy, say going to the moon. You know, like we would today, they were going to the sun now.
Yeah. Do you think John Smith was an adventurer?
There's no doubt that he, lived on the edge at all times. I mean, what edge he'd go in, Eastern Europe and, fight the Turks before he came to Jamestown. He goes to Jamestown and he almost loses his life. And then he goes back to England. And then the next thing you know, he's on a ship and he's the Admiral of New England. And yeah, he was a driven guy to take risks. There's no question about that. A very impressive person.
In one book I've read about Jamestown, it talks about John Smith's gunpowder accident where he burned himself pretty badly, that it might not have been an accident. Somebody might disliked him enough to set his gunpowder patch alight, but that strikes me as kind of a hard way to, you could shoot somebody easier than that.
Yeah, he wrote the account of it happening, and I don't know why he wouldn't accuse somebody, because he seemed to be not holding back in other ways. Accusing the first president, got rid of him, was the first impeachment in America. He was not a guy to mince words, it seems, at least the ones he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have.
What would you like to find if you could walk out the door tomorrow morning and stumble across your dream? What would you stumble across?
The cannon. I've taken so much grief for that. Where's the cannon? If you have a four, you got to have a cannon. We found cannonballs. We found gunpowder, I think. Everything but cannon. And all the equipment that goes with working a cannon, but no cannon. I think that's just something that... It's probably not here, though. I think they were removed and used elsewhere. But who knows? We've got 40%, at least... Well, we've only excavated 40% of the interior of the fort so far. So we're only not even half done.
Let's see. But in 1610, 11, when there was abandoned the fort for a day or an afternoon or whatever it was, did they not bury the cannon outside one of the gates?
I'm not sure if they said actually. Well, they buried their arms. Yeah, I suppose the cannon would go. Yeah. And now, outside the gate, that's another neat thing that we found. We found a main gate, but it's actually on the way. It doesn't look like it faces the river, but they said the main gate faces the river.
Mm-hmm.
At least straight ahead, straight to the south where the river is. But it's clear that their main landing point was in a different direction. And the river, of course, is there. It's where the channel touched the land. So, and we've excavated there. So there are no trenches and moats and... I don't think they would have had time to bury cannon.
I hate to say this, but it just popped into my head. The fort did not go under the James, as we all believed when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the cannon did.
Maybe. I don't know. We've done some little electronic work up and down the shore, too, and a cannon would light up like a candle and it on the machine. And I don't think it's there.
That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present this time. The electronic field trip, Jamestown Unearthed, airs October 11th on local public broadcasting stations and on history.org/trips. For future podcasts, check history.org often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.